This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Qul assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inshallah, to all the brothers and sisters, let us begin our day with the morning dua supplication. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma bika asbahna wa bika amsayna wa bika nahya wa bika namut wa ilayka an-nushur. Bismillahil ladzi la yadurru ma'asmihi shay'un fil ardi wala fis sama'i wa huwa as-sami'ul 'alim. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islami dina wa bi Muhammadin nabiyya. Allahumma zidni ilman nafi'a wa rizqan tayyiba wa amalan mutaqabbala. Ya muqallibal qulub, thabbit qulubana ala dinik wa ala ta'atik. Allahumma akhtim lana bi husnil khatimah. Allahumma adqilna jannatak wa ajirna minan nar. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina azaban nar. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala ahlihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillah bil alamin. Amin ya rabbal alamin. All praise due to Allah rabbal alamin for his blessing. And alhamdulillah, we are in the second day of Ramadan al-Mubarak for year 2017. And when we're in Ramadan, brothers and sisters, it's important for us to be close to Allah and always ask Allah rabbal alamin, make dua. Morning, evening, day and night, we never forget to ask Allah for guidance, for forgiveness. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive the sin of all of us who are present. For those who are absent, who are not here yet, may Allah forgive the sin of our family member who have passed away earlier than all of us. And those who are still living among us, because we do commit sins every day, we need Allah's forgiveness. We ask Allah to forgive the sin of the young and the old among us. The young have young sins, the old have old sins. Old normally have more sins than the young one, because they have lived longer than the young ones. We ask Allah Rabbul Alameen to forgive the sins of the male and the female among us. And may Allah purify our heart and those who are not well. For Sister Nur Aisha bint Abdul Rashid, we make prayer. May Allah Rabbul Alameen grant her shifa, strengthen her heart, her mind in remembering Allah Rabbul Alameen, especially in this blessed month. And for those who are traveling for Umrah or anywhere they are moving around in month of Ramadan, may Allah make them have a safe journey. Whoever perform Umrah, may Allah make their Umrah maqbulan, that may be accepted. And may Allah also forgive the sin and make them healthier than before, inshallah. Brothers and sisters, we know that Ramadan is a very blessed month. Whoever are able to start fasting in this year is a very good sign. One of the good things that we always share is that Allah Rabbul Alameen is so merciful, forgiving. And whoever fasts for the right intention, iman and wahtisaban, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi, the first thing that Allah will do is to forgive our past sins. That is what we need from Allah Rabbul Alameen. As a human, we do not want to look backward too much. We have learned a lot from the past. We have to plan for the future. We have to look into what is happening to us now, what we can do now, not what we can do after Ramadan. what we can do now while we are still in Ramadan. We have to organize ourselves, not to be selfish, just thinking of how to read the Quran in Ramadan for yourself, to finish the recitation of the Quran just for yourself, to perform prayer at night for yourself, everything for yourself. No, we should move out from that kind of environment to plan of something that we can do for everybody. When you pray, you don't just pray for yourself, you pray for your family, you pray for the ummah wherever they are, and you pray for people who are not yet Muslim too. Sometimes the Muslim are so disconnected with the not yet Muslim, as though that they don't deserve our prayer. Yes, they deserve our prayer. We ask Allah to open their heart, to give them guidance. We don't know. Even leaders of other countries who are not yet Muslim can be a Muslim one day. The important thing is we Muslims must not forget to ask Allah. Then just thinking that they are our enemy, you don't benefit us at all. A lot of people hate us is because they do not know who we are. A lot of people hate the prophets when he start his mission because they do not know who our prophet is. That's why the Prophet ﷺ, when he was thrown, they threw a stone at him, injured him. The angel came and asked his permission to destroy these people in Ta'if. And he said, Allahumma di qawm fa innahum la ya'lamun. Look at the prayer of the Prophet. Oh Allah, give guidance to these people who have injured me, because they do not know who I am. They don't know that Prophet Muhammad is there to save them. It's not easy to have all this sabar, patience. But the best example for all of us to follow is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I believe none of us who try to call others to Islam and been abused, humiliated, been injured by anybody, none of us have gone through that. Because we don't do da'wah to the not yet Muslim. And the worst thing, we don't even make du'a. Du'a, they don't know. And the Prophet said, "Ad-da'watul akhi di akhi fil ghaib la turat." A prayer that comes from your heart sincerely for another brothers, which they do not know that you are praying for them, will not be rejected. Only when Allah is going to answer the prayer, we leave it to Allah. Because the time that Allah fixed is the best time. Not our time, the time that Allah decides what is good for us. And this is a very important, to make dua for them. By doing that, inshallah, our anger, our hatred towards one another will get lesser. I believe all of you who have some people that you don't like in your life, if you think of them, it hurts you. But you can pray for them. But most of them don't pray for them. We just don't want to think of them at all. But you don't have to think of them by their name. You can give a very general dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive the sin of all the Muslims. May Allah purify their hearts. May Allah make them righteous people. Just a very general dua. And let us wait and see what is happening, what is going to happen to our dua. But I believe strongly, Udu'uni astajibu lakum in the Quran. When come to Ramadan, Allah Rabbul Alamin did command us, remind us, call upon Him, so that He will respond to your need, especially in Ramadan. We thought that Ramadan is for 1 month, of course, 1 month, but it's going to move very fast. This is just the second day. After 1 week, then you feel that it's 2 weeks already. Because we want it to be faster. Normally, those who start to fast, they are thinking of Raya already. But not all of us were here, alhamdulillah. Brothers and sisters, we know that a lot of things is happening in Ramadan. The Muslim also is still suffering, having a lot of hard time. Because the people who don't believe in Allah have very little mercy. They don't care, Ramadan or not Ramadan. Whatever they want to do, they will do. But we should be very careful. We can't do much to help fellow Muslim brothers, sisters, wherever they are. But at least we make prayer for them. If Allah, we want to take them back in the month of Ramadan, it's the best month. Whoever die in the month of Ramadan with the right faith, they have the intention to fast, something happen, they die. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will prepare for them a gate of paradise called Ar-Rayyan. So there's nothing for the believer to feel sad. If anything is going to happen in Ramadan and we go back to Allah, it's one of the good signs. So may Allah Rabbul Alamin give us the right feeling, the right faith, because anything you do, brother and sister, remember, it must be guided by your iman. Not just a tradition, feeling, norm that you fast. Man sama Ramadana imanan wahtisaban ghufira lahu ma taqadda min zambi. Whoever fasts with the right iman, with the right intention, and hope that Allah will accept our deeds, then Allah Rabbul Alamin will forgive all our past sins, inshallah. Amin. Inshallah, brothers and sisters, let us go back to the book. Knowing the prophets, and especially Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. If I'm not wrong, today we should be page 67. Yeah? We have someone just call in and ask us about why Allah purified the hearts of the Prophet, and how about our hearts? And how can we follow the Prophet if the Prophet is so special and we are not? Inshallah, through this chapter, we will learn about that. Allah Rabbul Alameen decide what He thinks is best for every one of us. If you go back to page 66, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and all the early prophets, they are all human like you and me. Now this is a very important point. Now if you treat a prophet as a human, how about we who are not a prophet? Of course you should except that we are all like each other. We are not different. All prophets were created by Allah. They are not children of God. They are human like all of us. And Allah have make it clear, إِنَّ نَحْنُ إِلَّا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَمُنُّ عَلَى مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ إِبَادِهِ. Now Allah make it very clear that the prophets will say to His people, we are only human like all of you. But Allah favors those whom He wills of His servant. It is His choice. It's not our choice. Whether you like that man or not, but it's Allah who decides to choose who is going to be His messenger and prophets. It's just like the dua, the da'in. It's not their choice. I didn't plan to be a da'i from before. I don't even know what is da'wah before I became a Muslim. But it happened. When it happened, is Allah's choice. The only thing you have to do is you must have the patience and the good thoughts and feeling towards Allah, that Allah knows what is best for all of you. Why all of you are here is Allah's choice too. It so happened that Allah opened your heart to come to this place and get to know us, and you have been with us year in, year out, alhamdulillah. From Ramadan to Ramadan, alhamdulillah. Who make this decision? Sometimes it's not we. It's Allah's choice. But when Allah has given you that guidance, you should try to use and make the best of it. You should not be ungrateful. You must be committed. You are in a jama'ah. You are not just by yourself. And you are in the right jama'ah. The jama'ah who is inviting all of you to follow what Allah wants you to do and the saying of His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Again then Allah Rabbul Alameen informed our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first ayah is talking about all the prophets. They have a responsibility, a duty to inform the followers that they are no children of God, they are no angel, they are human like all of them. Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reminded by Allah in Surah An-Nahl, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِمْ. We did not send before you, O Muhammad, except men again, to whom we reveal our message. Now Allah decide to choose His messenger only among the men. So for the sister, you don't have to feel bad about it. Why there's no female prophet? You don't have to feel bad. No, it's not easy to be a prophet. It's not easy to be a prophet. Yeah? Woman, even you are after Adam, Allah created man first, Adam, and from Adam He created Eve. Even you come second. But when come to obedience, respect, the Prophet said, mother, woman. The Prophet never said man. Can you imagine the status that Allah have given the woman? You don't have to be in the front line, but you are the backbone. Without you, the man also cannot move. You have to push them, encourage them, motivate them. You are the mother of all the leaders. Most of the leaders are men again. And behind every successful man, there is what? I don't know. The woman will know better. Only sometimes the men, they are very forgetful. They thought that everything is from them. No. They forget that behind them, there's very powerful little human being called the Hawa. Sometimes they are not there to help you physically. Sometimes they are not there to help you mentally because they are not that smart. Sometimes they are very smart. They are the one who help you mentally. But the minimum the woman will have is they pray for you. Mothers, a good wife will always pray for their loved one. Being human does not mean that the prophets carried bad qualities of stinginess, cowardice, hastiness, laziness, and so on. These are qualities that humans do have. But prophets, they are special because Allah have chosen them, and then Allah have purified and protect them. You know that Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, because before he was appointed as a messenger, he had gone through 5 spiritual operations. Who does this operation? Angel Gabriel himself came and do a spiritual operation. From young, when he was still with Halimatul Sa'diyah, the first happening. When he was a youth, second happening. And then when he want to become a prophet, the third happening. Then the final one, I just jump to the final one before Isra and Mi'raj, is the last happening. 5 times he have gone through spiritual operation. We also have operation after operation, but We know what operation we are going through, yeah, because of heart problem, because of this. And women have more operations, yeah, normally. And sometimes the people who are so particular about their size, another operation, to throw extra cholesterol, extra fats, and so on. But we forget the most important thing is the heart. Mm. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam remind us the importance of the heart by saying, "Allah fi jasada ibn Adam mudgha, iza salaha salaha jasada kullu, wa iza fasada fasada jasada kullu, Allah wa hiya qalb." You see, in the body of all of us, there is one piece of flesh. If that flesh is good, positive, constructive, clean, everything will become good. But if that flesh is corrupted, rotten, negative, passive, everything will go the other side. That is the heart. Yesterday when we have a class with the reverts, some revert asked me a very interesting question. She want to know the Islamic way of greeting. When the Muslim meet another Muslim, we have our own greeting, Assalamu Alaikum. The best greeting, greeting of peace. Even people are saying that we are terrorists, but we always start with peace. Those who say we are terrorists, they are the terrorists. We always bring peace because they don't like peace, so they say that we are terrorists. Only a terrorist will say to another person that they are terrorists. A bad guy will say to another guy that he's a bad guy because himself is a bad guy, so he think likewise, say everybody is like him. We don't look at people like terrorists. We honor everybody's right. Whoever commit a sin, then we will look into that particular, that individual. We do not generalize. That's the beauty of the Muslim. We are not judgmental. And we don't create doubts. We are not supposed to entertain anything doubtful. For the non-believer, they like to play around this doubtful area. For no reason. They look at you, I think you're like a terrorist. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. For no reason. We don't do that. Alhamdulillah, look at Malaysia, our country. Anybody want to come in, yeah, they're welcome. No, as long as you have a passport, you don't commit any crime before, alhamdulillah, you're welcome. Even you are bad, we hope one day you become good. That is our spirit. But to other people, they look at you, we have a beard khalas. Yeah. Something triggered them. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. There are so many people who have beard, they have no problem. First they look at your, how you look, you have a beard. Second you look at your passport, what name do you carry? So happen you have here, Abu there. It's a name given by your father. What can you do? Yeah. Abu means father. That also triggered them. Something is very wrong, yeah, in their mind, yeah, because they don't have guidance. They follow their desire. We Muslim is being guided, alhamdulillah, yeah. They were men. The above ayah also tell us that all prophets were men, not women. Many of the women in the past were very righteous. Of course, there are many righteous women, but none of them was a prophet. There are some women who even angel Gabriel came to them, but they are not a prophet. Maryam, angel Gabriel came to talk to her, but neither she is a prophet. Yeah. Imran's wife is, they became, but they are not prophet. The mother of Moses, angel came, but they are not prophet. Yeah. Among the reasons that the prophet were men are the following. Number one, become a prophet and a messenger, they have a duty to deliver Allah's message. When you have to deliver, that means you must travel, you must go out. A prophet often need to give public talks. You have to face the people, meet with people openly and privately. So it's easier for a man to do things openly and privately because they are men and they can protect themselves better. And normally people don't think of hurting another man for no reason. Unless you have another group of he/she, then you have problem. Travel over the earth. They have to travel, face the disbeliever and argue with them on having a good discussion. Prepare and lead armies. Prophet, sometimes they just have to become the chief of command if jihad is being declared. And even prophet have no authority to declare a jihad. No. Only when Allah give them the permission. You remember in the time of our prophet. Yeah. When Omar became a Muslim, Omar was asking Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are we not in the straight path? Are we not the true believers? If we are on the truth, there's nothing for us to hide. Let us go out. Whatever that happened, I am here. You know who is Omar? Allahu Akbar. So when Omar look at his own people, you know, he give them very strong signal. Any one of you want to lead their children to become orphans? Come. Any one of you want their wife to be widows? Come. What is he talking about? Widows? Orphans? Yeah, if you want to die fast, come to me. That is the message. You want to die? Come, come. We are not here to kill you, but you don't stop us. He was ready to go for jihad. Umar, Allahu Akbar. But the Prophet have no right to declare jihad until Allah command him to do so. So even in protecting yourself and engage in confrontation with the enemy, you cannot just do anything you like to do. You have to wait for the command from Almighty Allah Rabbul Alameen. Now all of these activities cannot be accomplished properly except by a man. What we do have some history before, not Allah's history, man-made history. That sometimes there are women who like to be a leader, and we know what happened at the end of the history. They caused a lot of problems. Number two, a prophet often needed to be in charge of his follower and act as their model and example. This also cannot be handled by a woman, because Allah has given the charge of her affair in this life to her husband. Because being a woman, if you are married, then you are under your husband. If you have a good husband, alhamdulillah, you will move together. والمؤمنون والمؤمنات بعضهم أولياء بعض يأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر ويقيمون الصلاة ويؤتون الزكاة إلى الآخرة آية. Allah is telling us, if you have decided to have a good partner, choose a good companion, husband and wife. If both are good, believers, active, then he don't treat you like a helper, servant. He will treat you as his best companion, that you will always do things together. Amal ma'ruf, nahi munkar. You see anything that's bad happening within the family member, both party is going to move from both angle. The male may attend to the male, the female attend to the female. You talk to the father, she talk to the mother. It do not work, we exchange. You talk to father, I talk to mother. Positive, negative. So both parties work together, it helps. It's like discipline our children. Both must participate. When the mother is reinforcing the discipline, the father just got to monitor, observe. Don't ignore what is happening. You have to observe. See the reaction of the children. Do they respond to the mother's instruction? Do they show angry faces? Do they argue? Do they raise up their voices? When they do that, father come in. Son, come here. You talk to him, man-to-man talk. Who are you talking to? Are you talking to your friend? Who are you talking to? Do you know that there's your mother? You have no right to raise up your voice. No, you reinforce. The same goes to when the father is talking. The mother can observe. Especially when prayer, the father becomes the imam, the children become ma'mum, the mother have a holiday. You don't have to pray. So what do? You have to help each other. How you help each other? They are praying. Your husband is praying, leading the children. And you are not praying because Allah gives you a break. You still observe. See how they pray. The father can't see the children, they are behind. Now, what the children is doing, only Allah knows. But you are the mother, you are behind them. This is how my children is praying. But when you are praying with them, you can't look at them. When you are not praying, you can help them, monitor them. Then, that's why Amal Ma'ruf and Nahi Munkar will move together. This is why the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Alhamdulillah, educate his wife. And one of the wife that is the most well informed about the hukum is Aisha radiallahu anha. To the extent that when the Prophet was not there, people would refer to Aisha. But then Aisha must have knowledge, and Aisha have a lot of information. One of the best things that I like to share with you about Ramadan, because the Prophet only performed 3 night prayer in the mosque, and he did not command the people to come and pray. He did not make an announcement that tonight I'm going to make Qiyam Ramadan, whoever want to come and pray, come and join me. And the Prophet never do that. He himself just pray Qiyam Ramadan first night. So happened some sahaba saw him and come and join him. The second night, the same, more people join in. The third night, more. And the mosque was full. Then the Prophet ﷺ was worried. Since my ummah love to pray this night prayer so much, and the wahyu is not stopped yet. The wahyu is coming. So he was worried with the good feeling that he had towards his ummah. Harisun. He's a very careful leader. He always remember all of us. He do not want to make this religion difficult for us. So he was worried that Allah will make this night prayer as an obligation, and it will be a burden to you and to me, not to the Prophet. He have special spirit in him. So he stay away from the mosque. Now he complete the other night prayer only at home. And you know the house of the Prophet is not like our house. It's a small house. And that's why the only person who really know how the Prophet performed the night prayer at home is Aisha. Because he was living with Aisha most of the time. And that's why they have to ask Aisha. So they ask Aisha, how did the Prophet perform the night prayer? So Aisha said, this is one of the things and the quote, based on what is happening in Ramadan. Makana Rasulullah yazid fi Ramadan wala fi ghairihi ala 11 rak'ah. This is what Aisha said. question was asked in Ramadan, and Aisha respond in Ramadan, but the way she responds is unique. Makana Rasul Yazid fi Ramadan wala fi ghairihi ala 11 rak'ah. The Prophet never increased, whether in the night of Ramadan or outside Ramadan, for the night prayer more than 11 rak'ah. This is what Aisha said. If you do not want to believe, that means you just ignore the saying of Aisha. If you think you know better than the Prophet, then it's just too bad. If a person said, no, the Prophet was praying this only 8 in the mosque, then he went home and he made extra. Now, at home, who is there? You are there. Are you there? None of us can give the answer. Who is with the Prophet? Yeah, at home is his wife. Now the wife is confirming and making it very clear, and the Ummah until today is not clear. This is very unique. The Prophet have made it very clear through his action, and then Aisha confirmed through her statement. Ma kana Rasul Yazid fi Ramadan wala fi ghairihi ala 11 rak'ah. The Prophet never increased. If you are talking about tahajjud, tahajjud is also night prayer. He never increased at night, in the night prayer, whether in Ramadan or outside the month of Ramadan, more than 11 rak'ah. Then people argue, but the Prophet 11, how long? 5 hours, 6 hours. And you want to follow the number of the rak'ah, but you cannot stand for 2 hours. Allahu Akbar. Why you go into that kind of argument? Why you play around with the hukum? First, we want to know how many rak'ah. Secondly, how long you can do. That is another matter. How long is up to you. Even the Prophet himself, he memorized the Quran and he recited the Quran very lengthy. But you, do you memorize the Quran? Yes. قُلْ يَا قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ قُلْ عَوْلَ فَلَقُ قُلْ عَوْلَ بِالنَّاسِ. Alhamdulillah. How about the revert? You want to call him to stand for 4 or 5 hours? He only memorized Fatiha. Fatiha inna atayna. Fatiha inna atayna. Alhamdulillah. Everybody will do what they can. And the Quran and the guidance of the Prophet was so easy. Read what is easy for you. Alhamdulillah, if the Prophet said, read what I've read, they're gone case. I don't think anyone want to come. Ramadan, khalas. I only fast night time? No. Yeah. Because too difficult. That's why when you understand the sunnah of the Prophet, it's beautiful, brothers and sisters. And don't go further than that. Those who want to stand for 5 hours, they can. Alhamdulillah. Those who want to stand for 7 hours, if they can, carry on. But if you do more than that, you know you are not following any sunnah at all. Because the Prophet also gave the right to the family. At night in Ramadan, he have time with the wife, time with the family. You cannot just think, Ramadan, don't disturb me. Untouchable. No question asked. Is a man of silence, no talking. But Allah allow us to be normal again after the breaking of fast. So why you torture yourself? Just an example. Islam is simple. Why you make it difficult? Come to recitation. The Prophet have said, read what is easy for you. Alhamdulillah. And this is one of the hadith of Aisha. And this hadith is the most authentic hadith about the night prayer. And again, people argue, yeah, if 8 and 3 witr 11, how the manners the Prophet performed this prayer. Through Aisha command and statement, Yusalli arba'a. فَلَتُسْأَلْ عَنْ حُسْنِهِنَّ وَطُولِهِنَّ ثُمَّ يُسَلِّي أَرْبَعًا فَلَتُسْأَلْ عَنْ حُسْنِهِنَّ وَطُولِهِنَّ ثُمَّ يُسَلِّي ثَلَاثًا رَوَاهُ بُخَارِي وَمُسْلِمْ. No scholar until today dare to deny this hadith, but they still want to argue. Now this hadith, if you look at the saying of Aisha, 4-4-3. 4-4-3. Can you do 2-2-2-2 and 1? Yes, because there was another general hadith. That's why we don't argue. But to say 2-2-2-1 is the only way, not the 4. Again, why are you going to argue? If the Prophet said Zohar 4 raka'at, are you going to argue? You 2-2-2. Can you do 2-2 for Zohar? When he said 4-4, can you understand the number 4? If you want to say 2, there's other hadith, raka'ataini, raka'atain. Yes, 2-2, no problem. We have no problem with 2. We have no problem with 4. But there are some people, they have no problem with 2, they have problem with 4. It's not we choose. It's not our liking. It so happened, this is from the hadith, from Aisha radiallahu anha. Never mind. So here normally we do 4 and 3, and sometimes we may also do 2 or 2. Sometimes the imam feel easier too, because 4, then he forget which rakat he's in now. 3, 4. Sometimes it's a bit tough, if you're not used to it. Suddenly you're thinking the second rakat, am I the third one or the fourth one? There's a lot of disturbance. Then if you're so used with 2-2-2, no problem. But I'm just going to remind all the good brothers and sisters to not challenge the wife of the Prophet when the sunnah prayer is concerned, because the Prophet have said in other hadith Sahih Muslim that afdalus salah fil baytihi illa maktuba. In Sahih Muslim the Prophet said the best prayer is at home except the farudu prayer. So this is all sunnah prayer, and sunnah prayer is highly recommended to do at home. So if you can't come for the qiyam here, you're too tired, don't worry, you can just delay. Later on you can have an early sleep. You sleep early, that means maybe at 9:30 you sleep, no problem. Give one of the sisters a chair now, inshallah. Okay, they have a chair for you, alhamdulillah. And then you can wake up at 3 a.m. and then you can do it by yourself. Qiyam Ramadan, known as Traweh to majority of us, is also Qiyamul Layl, is also Tahajjud, is a same prayer. But please remember, it is not that you must do immediately after Isha. Only the prayer start after Isha prayer, but not necessary immediately. We do it immediately because it's easier, since you are here for Isha, and then we continue. If we say no problem after Isha, everybody go home first, 11 come home, come back again, I think you're not going to come back anymore. So it's easy after Isha, we continue. But those who are very tired, struggling, and you have to pray while, and in the same time you are like a zombie sleeping, dozing around, you better go home. No problem, don't worry. Go home, take a break, sleep for a while, and then wake up 3 a.m. and you can do by yourself. It's a very relaxed kind of prayer. That's why it's known as Salatul Taraweh, a very relaxing prayer. So remember that. Not necessary you do immediately after Isha. I wouldn't say that in Ramadan you cannot go for shopping. Go. If you think you have to go after breaking of fast, after Maghrib, you can go supermarket, hypermarket, malling, anywhere you want to go, you go. Until the supermarket close at 10. That means you have to come home already. And then you pray your Isha with your family, if you are moving or together. And then you pray your Qiyam together if you want. If not, you can delay later on. No problem. Or you want to do 4 rakat first after Isha, and then the other 4, because you are tired now, you do it later on. It is so relaxing, no? Many ways that you can do. So nobody can say it's a burden. When you don't understand the sunnah, it becomes a burden to you. So remember, husband and wife work together as a team. The problem will start when the husband active, the wife passive. Or the wife very active, the husband, only Allah knows. No? Too relaxing. And that will be a problem, you know. You have to struggle, extra struggle, because you're having problem from the people who is next to you, closest to you. That's why finding a partner is very important. Yeah? If you like exercise, you get a person who also love exercise, you can see, mashallah, both of you become fit. If one who loves exercise, one who just get lazy, then I don't know who is going to help who, you know. Normally, we will follow the one who is lazy, you know, because he is going to pull us down. Yeah, just an example. So we pray, may Allah give all of us, yeah, a good partnership. Yeah. A woman is regularly faced by various natural events such as, of course, menses, pregnancy, delivery, breastfeeding. This is part of your fitrah. That's why Allah do not want to burden you with more than that. You have a lot of other things to do where the man can't do. Yeah. The man can carry baby only outside. They cannot carry inside. Yeah. The man can just play with the baby, putting their finger. But if the baby will come to the breast of the man, they have nothing there. Yeah. For a woman, Allah gives you the extra kind of thing, and Allah knows you have your own fitrah. Allah do not want to burden you more than that. That's why Allah do not choose the woman to become His messenger. So don't feel bad. Yeah? This interrupts the regular performance of her affairs, and for sure would be a great obstacle to carrying Allah's message to the people. Of course, when you are pregnant, you know how difficult. You cannot move like the normal person anymore. You have to rest a lot. Yeah. When you're breastfeeding, it's not easy. Yeah. So for the man, we pray, may Allah Rabbul Alamin give us husband who honor us, respect us, feel for us, be with us. You know? And if they can help us so much, at least they do not make life difficult for us. Especially if you are pregnant in the month of Ramadan, you are in the 7th month, 8th month, we hope that the husband don't force you to prepare sahur for him. It's time the husband prepare sahur for the wife. I think our husband do that, inshallah. When you are not well, when you are having your menses, must you wake up and prepare sahur for your husband? Do we do that, sisters? We still do that. You see, how blessed the men. They just can sleep and don't care. Yeah, somebody did wake them up. Even that wife, she cannot fast anymore. Allah give her a break. Why can't you give her a break? If Allah can give her a break not to fast, not to pray, why can't you give her a break? Don't wake up for sahur. Because there's no sahur for you. Can we do that? Inshallah, the brother dare not say anything. Because it's another jihad. Why can't you do that? I mean, it's not difficult today. Before you sleep, then he prepared, and then you just wake up, you know the oven is there, then you just heat it up if you want. Or you have all the 3-in-1, we have all the cereal goods, no kind of food. Alhamdulillah, you have dates ready for you. Let her rest. I hope you will do that. Yeah? I think all the brothers here, they are good men. I believe in them, you know. They don't believe me, but I believe in them. And I hope the wife also, inshallah, will get this special treatment, because you need, when Allah said you cannot fast, there's a reason. So you need a rest, a good rest. Don't force the wife. Show kindness, show some mercy to them. You don't lose anything. That's why it's important to have this understanding. Next time, those who are not married yet, you can put this part of the condition. In the akad, plus. No, when I'm fasting, in the fasting month, if I have my menses, if I'm pregnant, I don't wake up for sahur. And I don't prepare sahur for you. MOU first. So that they don't argue. What kind of wife is this? Unfaithful wife. Don't care of the husband. Don't prepare food for the husband. Astaghfirullah. Allahu Akbar. They act and act like other human. Because they are human, of course, they will eat. They will drink. They will sleep. They get married. So it is not normal if you think that a prophet, he must not have a wife. A prophet should not have desire towards a woman. A prophet should not have children. How can you treat a man in that manner? You must look at every prophet as a human. The same go to us. We are human. We have our own needs. Allah created everything for a reason. And Allah Rabbul Alameen, last night in the Qiyam, the Imam recited an ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah, very important ayah, Kulu washrabu. Eat and drink what Allah had provided for us. Enjoy. But do not cause mischief after that. Don't waste. Waste also is wrong. But at the same time, when you have the energy, don't misuse your energy to do things that cause a lot of destruction. You must do things that is positive. Many ignorant people, especially among the not yet Muslim, think that the Prophet has some of Allah's divine qualities. They think that the Prophet was not totally human, half angel and so on. That they did not eat or go to toilet. That they knew the hidden, the ghaib, and so on. This is all untrue. Give you one simple example. The people of the book, they are very knowledgeable people because they receive a lot of revelation from the early prophets. They were exposed to their book, to the Torah, to the Injil. So when the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was going to call them to Islam, invite them to Allah, they were testing him. One of the tests they put to the Prophet ﷺ is that, Yas'aluna ka'anir ruh. They start to ask him about the ruh, the spirit. See how smart they are. And see how Allah Rabbul Alameen guide our Prophet. Yas'aluna ka'anni ruh. Quli ruhu min amri rabbi. Allahu Akbar. If any one of them asks you about the ruh, say to them, the matter of ruh belong to God. No comment. وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Whatever knowledge that I have about the ruh is just very little. I cannot explain in detail. I can't. Because I don't have the knowledge. This knowledge belongs to God. Because it's the ghaib. Ruh is something unseen. You cannot see. You can hold. You cannot touch. When the Prophet gives this answer to the people, they just tongue-tied, cannot say anything. They were ready. If the Prophet explained, they are going to fire at him already. They have knowledge. Sometimes the people who ask us questions, it's not that they don't have knowledge. They are tricky, you know. They just want to attack you sometimes. They have bad intention. So same go to the people of the book, have bad intention. They want to see whether the Prophet is telling them the truth. Is what the Prophet say is revelation or just from his own knowledge. So when Allah said, قُلِ رُحْ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي خَلَاسِ, all of them cannot argue with him. They know this cannot come from Muhammad. Today you can see some people, they can tell you, say, you come to them, I know, no, this is going to happen to you. Show me your hand. Okay. You still have 3 years to go. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. Who give you the knowledge of the ghaib? Even the Prophet don't have. Some people have this crazy idea. If you want to be a prophet, you must have this. No. A prophet is here to just convey the message. That's all. It's like a postman. Send the letter. He cannot even open the letter and check. You know. Even that, they have problem. Some letter, it should be good neighbor, they come to us. Don't know what he's reading, only Allah knows. The Prophet act and behave like other humans, because Allah said, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا قَبْلَكَ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ إِلَّا إِنَّهُمْ لَيَأْكُلُونَ الطَّعَامُ وَيَمْشُونَ فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ. Allahu Akbar. The beautiful words of Allah Rabbul Alameen. And we did not send before you, O Muhammad, any of the messengers. Now why did Allah always say to Muhammad, before you? Because the Prophet have to refer back. When he is going to talk to anybody now, he have to refer them back to the early messengers. He have to connect his message with the message of the early Prophet. And that's why we Muslims, when you pray, you cannot end your prayer without tashahud. No one can end his prayer without reciting tahiyyat. At-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibatu. Or at-tahiyyatu mubarakatu salawatu tayyibatu lillah. Salamu ala nabiyyu rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidun Majid, until the end. Why that when we perform our prayer, almost every time when we engage in our prayer, we must connect ourselves with our Prophet, the family of the Prophet, and the prophets of Abraham alayhissalam and his family. Why? Because that is why our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reminded by Allah about the Prophet before him. Because he is not the only Prophet. He must acknowledge, he must remind the people, I am not someone new, actually I am just here to complete the message that been revealed to the early Prophets. I am here to continue the mission. I did not come with something totally new. The other prophet, they are all prophets. If you people of the book, you believe in Jesus, good. And those who believe in Jesus must believe in Moses, good. Those who believe in Moses believe in Abraham, yes. That's what we all believe. You believe in Jesus, we believe in Jesus. You believe in Moses, we believe in Moses. You believe in Abraham, we believe in Abraham. So the only mistake now is, we accept, but you all stop there. You did not believe in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is the main difference. We, the prophets, Muhammad's ummah, believe all the early prophets, but you all stop. At the point that you want to stop. When Allah never said that Jesus is the last messenger, Allah never said Moses is the last messenger. But Allah said Muhammad khadam an-nabiyin. is the last and the seal of all prophet. So now, if anyone claim that they are a believer, they are Muslim, they believe there is a prophet after Muhammad, then it's a wrong belief. But you must believe the early messengers. If you don't believe, you cannot be a believer. La nufarriqu bayna ahadin min rusuli. You have no right to accept what you want, and you ignore what Allah has said about the early prophets and messengers. We did not send before you, O Muhammad, any of the messengers except that they ate food and walked in the markets. Allahu Akbar. Prophet also go to Mecca. And there was a strange saying of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of the signs, we are going in slowly, yeah, in our qiyam every night to talk about the sign. One of the signs of the doom days, the early signs, the minor, not the major one, there will come a time markets is getting very close to you. Market is coming closer and closer to us before we know. When you said go for marketing, you must go to one wet market. You have to travel 10 miles away, yeah, 8 miles away, 15 miles away, because market is always far from us. But look at what happened. The Prophet is reminding us, market is getting closer and closer. Is that what happening to us today? Yeah? Some more online. You don't have to go out anymore. Now you all, before have the wet market far away, and now they come mini market, more supermarket first, hypermarket, and then mini market, 99 just in front here. You know, they also have wet, right? And now all the small stores also they are selling all the wet, the fish and everything. Everything is getting close. They can send it to you now at doorstep, online. It's very unique. The Prophet is quoting something that do not happen in his time and is happening now. Allahu Akbar. And one important thing here also is about Isa. And Allah said about Isa, مَلْ مَسِيْهُ بْنُ مَرْيَمَ إِلَّا رَسُولُ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهُ الرُّسُلُ وَأُمُّهُ صِدِّيقَ كَانَ يَأْكُلَانِ الطَّعَامِ. The Messiah, son of Mary, known as Jesus to all of us, was not but a messenger. Other messengers had passed on before him. And his mother, now he's talking about the mother, because somebody glorified Mary more than Jesus. They say, Jesus is the son. I better connect myself with the mother of the son. Mother God. But we believe in Maryam. But Maryam is not God. He is not a goddess. She is the mother of Isa alayhi salam. And his mother was a most truthful woman, Siddiqah, righteous woman. They both used to eat food like other human. The mother also eat, Jesus eat. God don't have to eat. God is not like you and me. But because human want to think like how they want to think about God, so that's why you see a lot of people go to feed God. They prepare food for God. At the end, they eat, not God. They think God also is need food, so they prepare food. No. My people love food, so they think God also love food. So they prepare more food. They have a lot. Yeah. The thing that they worry most. Is what they call, there's a festival among my people, they call the Ghost Festival. So they say, if you want to make peace with the ghosts, you feed the ghosts. Give them good food. Yeah, have peace with them. MOU you sign for 1 year. So there will be a night they call, the hungry ghost is flying. It's coming out. Very hungry. So prepare. As much food as you can, you just provide for them. They will not disturb you for the whole year. You know? When I was there before, I enjoyed that particular day because you see all the food is going to come. Only Allah knows. You know? It's really a festival. You know? And the nice thing that they call this festival, Ghost Festival. You know? Is there ghosts around, brother and sister? Is there ghosts around? Yeah. Ghost is a name. It's a term we use. The Malay call hantu. Yeah. The real name we call is, the universal name is what? It's shaitan. Shaitan is always there. We don't have to fear him. We know he is there. We just do what we have to do. He will do what he has to do. And he has said to the Prophet, even to the Prophet, no, that he will try to disturb them, but he knows he cannot control them. He will just whisper. But the Prophet, all are very alert, where we are not alert. No. We sometimes is so weak. We are so weak, our iman. But we want to make friend with him. Can you imagine? We human want to make friend. No prophet make friend with Satan. The only prophet that asked Allah to have full control on the jinn is Sulaiman. No MOU with them. No, 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 no. No friend. You'll be under my command. Then okay. But now you have a lot of Muslims. You can make friends with them, you know, so that they can help you sometime. Can you imagine that he help you? No, no. He's going to destroy you. Yeah. So Allah is telling us that all the prophets, they are human like us. They eat. They have families. They fall sick. They get well. They drink. They go to washroom. Yeah, they all do the same thing. Yeah. They think that there's some miracle in them. The saliva of the Prophet sometimes have special barakah, but not your saliva and my saliva. You know, don't think, oh, the Prophet sunnah, you know, saliva, he also use your saliva. No, no, no. Your saliva only Allah knows, you know. You keep it to yourself, you know? And that's why the tahnik, you remember the tahnik. When you have a newborn baby on the 7th day, it's good to tahnik. The Prophet used to, he used dates, yeah, and then he'll chew the date and then get some of the sweetness from there and put, yeah, some of the sweetness inside the baby's mouth, the gum, and rub and make dua. Normally, when people come to me, I use honey. Yeah. I don't use date. Something sweet, something good. Honey also have his own, yeah, value. Yeah. So I use honey. Yeah. Brothers and sisters, inshallah. And Allah tell his last and the best prophet in Surah Al-Kahfi. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُوحَى إِلَيَّ annama ilahukum ilahu wahid. The ending, faman kana yarju liqa'a rabbi falyamal amalan saliha wala yushrik bi ibadati rabbihi ahada. Say, O Muhammad, our prophet is the last messenger, and Allah command him to say, I am only a human being like you. Kul innama ana basharun mislukum. Can you imagine today there are some so-called holy man, saint, the way he is presenting himself that he is not like you. I am special. No. I don't sleep like you sleep. No. I don't eat what you eat. But look at what the Prophet said to his people. I am a human like you. And you have this called saying Wali. Only Allah knows what Wali is that. He is telling you that he is not like you. No. He don't eat like you. He don't sleep like you. No. You know, when he closes his eyes, he's not sleeping. He never sleep. You know, he take one time wudu, he can last for 1 week. I don't know how can this Wali take one wudu and then he don't sleep. You don't sleep for 3 days, what you become? But he say he's Wali, he don't have to sleep. The Prophet also sleep. The Prophet break his wudu. These kind of people, if anybody come and tell you that there's a man is so special like this, you better say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim min hamzihi wa nafqihi. But you don't say in front of that guy, of course. You tell my, you're telling my sheikh shaitan. No, you yourself, protect yourself. Don't have to go. When people come and tell you how great this guy is, he's so special like this and that, he don't eat, he don't drink, and then alhamdulillah, I want to be normal. I'm a normal man. I'm a simple guy. I just want to be very normal. Don't waste your time. Don't go. When you go, you got caught. And then the ayah after that, Allah Rabbul Alamin said, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ لِقَاءَ رَبِّهُ Whoever have the intention to meet Allah, we all have an intention to meet Allah, فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا Engage yourself, be active, be righteous. عَمَلْ صَالِح This month, Ramadan, be active. Do good deeds, help the poor, the needy. Be organized, do things in an organized manner is more blessed. And anything you do for Allah, brother and sister, anything you contribute for Allah, you don't have to worry. Allah have promised us, وَمَا أَنْفَقْتُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَهُوَ يُخْلِفُ Everything you spend in the cause of Allah, for the sake of Allah, Allah will repay you back. Allah Himself will pay you back. So there's nothing for you to worry. فَلْيَأْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا Whatever good deeds that you are doing in Ramadan especially, don't commit shirk. Don't commit shirk. This is shirk bin niyat. Means you do for the sake of Allah, not because of something else. Purely for the sake of Allah. That is what you said, doing lillahi ta'ala. You pray for the sake of Allah. You come and pray the Qiyam Ramadan for the sake of Allah. You give sadaqah for the sake of Allah. You give out your zakat for the sake of everything you do is purely for the sake of Allah. Yeah? Do prophets have families and children? Yes. Another aspect of the human nature of the prophet is that they are married and had families and children. And Allah said that. وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلًا مِّن قَبْلِكَ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَزُرِّيَّةً In Surah Al-Ra'd, verses 38, we have already sent messengers before you. Every time when Allah is talking to Prophet Muhammad about messengers, he refers back to the early messengers. So that the Prophet is not here to talk about himself only, is to confirm about the early prophets and messengers. And that's why we are so blessed, we are here to represent all messengers. Where other people just represent some they like, some they dislike. We know. And one thing that is so important for us, we believe all prophets and messengers are maksum. They're human, but they are maksum. They don't commit sin like all of us. Yeah. But there are some other people who believe that some prophet commit sin. Some prophet, he is a womanizer. They say this to the Prophet. This is to show us how bad these people are, if they can say it out loud, that Prophet is so bad, what is hidden in their heart is double. If anybody dare to tell you, I don't like you, please don't take it lightly. One day say he don't like you, he dare to say it out, what is in heart is worse. So if any of your Habibi, your loved one, someday come to you, no, I have no feeling for you anymore. He dare to say it out loud in front of your face, I don't have feeling with you anymore. How do you feel, sister? Your husband, 10 years with you, and one day he come to you, no, I have no feeling for you. What are you going to say? You must prepare for the worst already. If he dare to say in front of your face, I don't love you anymore, I have no feeling anymore, so don't expect anything from him. You have to develop a strong relation with Allah to protect yourself. Don't rely on him anymore. What he can say to you, out loud, what is inside is double. As long as they don't say this, may Allah help them. We know it's not easy sometimes. Allah tests every one of us. But we hope the man is not so cruel. It's just like if the son said to the children, I have no father. It's too bad. Allah have warned us about that. If the person dare to say something so negative in front of you, what is hidden in this heart is worse. I learned from that. When this happened, I have to strengthen my relationship with Allah. I have to rely on Allah more. You have to free yourself already, be strong. But we hope that we don't express this negative, because shaitan play with this. What is sabar? You don't like something, you just hold on. And may Allah help all of us. Ameen. Brothers and sisters, inshallah, that's all I want to share with you for today, for us to know better about the prophets and why that our Prophet always was reminded by Allah about the early prophets, so that we do not ignore them and we do not just cut them off. We must link up with all the other prophets so that we are here to represent everybody. We represent Jesus, we represent Moses, we represent Abraham, we talk about Adam. Then when we talk about all the prophets, we are all like one big family now, because all of us are children of Adam. Then we don't feel that we are a stranger to one another, inshallah. If there's any question, now we open for Q&A. Fatafaddal. Any question from the brothers first? Faddal. Here, Shafiq.
Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikumsalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
I understand that there's a hadith saying that you have to pray your tarawih starting with an imam and finish with the imam. If the imam prays 8, you finish the 8. If the imam does 20, you have to finish the 20. So is this authentic, and how do one follow the hadith that Ustaz just mentioned, that the Prophet only prays 8 plus 3, 11
rak'ah? Now, we do believe that there is a hadith, the Prophet said, Abdab following the Imam. Yes. But again, this is a very general hadith. A general hadith, when you come to a specific hadith, qas and am, normally the qas will overrule the general one. In understanding the sunnah, you have the sunnah am, sunnah khasa. Khas always overrule the general one. But there's one thing I like to remind. When you talk about the prayer, jama'ah, we are talking about the fardu prayer. Because fardu jama'ah is what is compulsory. It's a command. But most of the sunnah prayer is not compulsory at all. It's a sunnah. One thing that I always alert, when you pray behind the imam, after the imam finish his salam, we also will end with salam. Nobody, the adab of following imam, nobody is allowed to just leave that place, yeah, until the imam turn back. That means normally the imam's responsibility, adab, after salam, he recite astaghfirullah, 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 then he will turn and face the ma'mum. Once the imam move, then you can excuse yourself if you need to leave. But you don't leave before that, because this is the adab. The minimum that you must stay on until the imam said astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. And that is the adab. That means you don't abandon the imam and just stand up and leave before the imam makes some movement. So in general, if people want to use that hadith to make that we all must follow, that is not what the great scholars agreed upon. Some people are using that as an argument, but we don't use general hadith to argue with something that is specified. Example, if a person pray for and then he don't want to pray, he want to go home, and you say no, it's so relaxed. In the Prophet time, the Prophet never encouraged people to come, neither he stopped people to go. He never stopped. If people want to go, go. Everybody have their own needs sometimes. No issue, inshallah. Yeah. Nam. Any other question from the sisters? Next question from the sisters? Nam. Pass the mic to the sister. You can ask first. Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The imam, yeah. Yeah, you can choose. After 10, you can just go and make tawaf if you're in Mecca. And you see, that's why they didn't even stop people from making tawaf. Even they are leading, the qiyam is on, but nobody stopped people to do tawaf. Because it's a sunnah. But when prayer, the fardu prayer, nobody can make tawaf. Everybody must stop and pray the fardu prayer with the imam. Is it an option? Because tawaf is a sunnah, qiyam Ramadan is sunnah, so you have a choice. You can choose this and then half this, half that, no problem. Why they choose to break into two imam? Because they know you don't do more than that as a person. So the imam will take leave and the other imam will come in. That's why the best way to know what is happening when you go to the Middle East, you don't go to the main mosque, you go to the other masjid, other than Haram, Kaaba place, and also Masjid Medina. You go to other masjid, you will see people will pray 11 rakat. Because that is the most authentic hadith. Nobody can deny that. The reason they do, they break into two imam in Masjid al-Haram and Masjid Nabawiyah, because they know that a lot of Muslims who come from abroad don't understand. They are so used to the 20, so they appoint two imam. Every night they have two imam. Not even one imam will do 20. So they just break even. Why? They do that because if they don't do that, organize in that manner, people who are ignorant will start to form their own jama'ah. And then maybe from India, one Jama'ah, from Pakistan, another Jama'ah, and then from Asia, another Jama'ah. Now, the Ummah is going to be divided in the mosque. So there will be more fitna. This happened in the time of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. When the Muslim empire have spread so far to Persia and Rome, so more revolts coming in because the Ummah have increased. Then Umar experienced a time when he was looking in, and when he entered the mosque in the month of Ramadan, you have different group of people performing Jama'ah prayer for the night prayer, yeah, from different direction. So Umar was looking at this. It's a sunnah prayer. Neither Umar stopped them, but Umar just recommend them. He called all of them together, and then he appoint two imam. Ubay ibn Ka'ab at-Tamim ad-Dari radiallahu anhuma. Two of them become the official imam. And then two of them go to two separate mosques. If you go to that mosque, you lead them 11. Still 11. But the people say, Umar endorsed 20. No, it happened in the time of Umar, there are a group performing 20 plus 3, and there is one group performing 30 plus, one group 40 plus. But Umar, when looked at the Muslims so divided in their worshipping, he gathered two of the companions and command them to do 8 and 3, 11. And the only thing he do is he revived back that prayer in the masjid. Because when the Prophet stopped praying in the masjid, nobody pray in the masjid anymore for the night prayer. Everybody want to do, they do at home by themselves. When the Prophet passed away, Abu Bakr came to be the first caliph of the Prophet. He never performed Jama'ah prayer for night prayer. No night prayer in the mosque. After Isha, everybody go home. Umar time, because the Muslim empire have grown so fast, more people learn and some people start to do this and do that. So when Umar saw this, he said, I will want them to pray together, 11 rakat, but they can pray in the mosque now. He revived the sunnah to perform the prayer in the mosque. And that's why the people said, are you doing something that the Prophet have stopped? He said, the Prophet stopped coming out from the house to the mosque because of a reason. He got a illa. The reason, he's worried that Allah will make it an obligation. But now the Prophet have died, and there's no more new rule, new wahyu. It still will be a sunnah, it cannot be a wajib. And that's why I revive it back. That's how the history of what happened in the time of Umar. Yeah? Only we have no issue about how many rakat, because Umar did not stop. Only he command 11 rakat. Naam, inshallah. Which azan is this? Suddenly Ramadan, we have early azan. Allahu Akbar. Yes, Faddam.
Can a person perform Ka'bah for his family member who is a people sick and not able to?
Hajj Badal, yes. Yes, you can.
Because the person is alive.
Yes. But he is alive, but he can't do it. You can. For the sick one, old people, that they can't do it by themselves, somebody can do only. But the person who wants to do this Hajj for him must have done his Hajj early. He cannot join together two Hajj in 1 year. No. One person, one. Not necessary family members. You can appoint anybody that you feel you know them, you are comfortable with them, you know that they know the rule. You must be very careful. Everything is being commercialized now. You don't go, this is package 2,000, 3,000. How can 2,000, 3,000 perform Hajj today? Even ticket also cannot bring you to Makkah. You get somebody here, you know, pay them the way how you pay a package for the father if the father is going. That's how you should do it. I know. That's why I'm saying people are doing a business out of it. I don't agree. people used to call me, Shaz, any people going to Bajad? Are they, nothing from Malaysia. Malaysia will get people from Malaysia. Oh, but I'm a student from Malaysia, but now you are not in Malaysia, you are there. No, they should not have this kind of commercial kind of value. Now they're coming with a lot of things, don't do that. It's just like if the person is alive, do he travel from here? Yes. Do we give him a good package? If he's our father, we have enough money, we want to give him. Give it, spend for the sake of Allah. Is his hajj. We are worried now, a lot of people are doing, they get it from you, they get from there. Only Allah knows. They make one lump sum hajj, So, I personally, I don't do that. Yeah. Now, never mind, I'll come back to her. Yes. Now, if the wife is pregnant, now, only the wife will know about her situation more than anyone else. If she's still that she can carry on with the fasting, she carry on. If she know that if she keep on fasting it will cause more harm to her, then she must break her fast. Now, you know that after pregnancy, then she have to go for the breastfeeding and so on, means the best thing for the woman is to pay fidya. Pay fidya, redeem his fasting days. Yeah? But she will know. She can try, and then if he cause harm, then she must break. Fidya, the best thing is what Allah said, you feed the poor with the food that you eat. So if one day you have lunch and dinner costs you per meal 10 ringgit, example, so one day is 20 ringgit. I know today people give the minimum. No, if you eat, you have a meal, you have rice, you have bread, or you have some drink, you have some meat here, or some veggie there, a meal. Yeah, that would be the best way of calculation. Sister, Fadda.
Assalamualaikum, Sheikh.
Waalaikumsalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Regards to the traveling.
Traveling.
Yeah, there is a hadith in Bukhari and Muslim reported by Ibn Abbas saying that no woman should travel except in the presence of her mahram. So in our situation right now, does it also apply for us to travel for work, travel for learning, education, or is it traveling for holiday purposes?
Now, the one important thing I like to share with all the good brothers and sisters, the saying of the Prophet was very clear, talking about the safety of the woman, whoever want to travel a day and a night journey. There are many hadiths about traveling, how far. If you're just going out to the supermarket here, and go, is that also considered musafir? You don't call that musafir. Traveling is musafir. Musafir means you are moving out from your normal routine zone area. Yeah? So then you consider yourself as a traveler. You know. So for the travelers, if the journey is one day, one night journey, then you should have a mahram. The reason that the Prophet ﷺ wants us to have a mahram only apply for the woman first. This mahram issue only apply for women. It's purely for the safety, the security of the woman. Now, based on the concept of security, there was a time even they do not allow men to go to Hajj or Umrah if they travel alone. Even men, why? Because you don't have airplane that time, you have traveled by land. To travel by land, it takes you maybe months to reach Mecca. And the journey on land is not safe because you have a lot of robbery, highway robbery, people will attack you. So it's not safe for to travel alone. It may cause harm to you. Then you cannot go to Mecca, even a man, if you are traveling alone. In a group, it's secure. your safety. So you can only by group. Now coming back to what the woman is referring to, the sister, about woman traveling, is mostly as long as you are a traveler, whether for leisure, for work, or anything, as long as you are a traveler. But again, the situation of today have changed a lot. You have point to point. You are safe. Your parents send you, or your family send you to the airport here. It's like even small children can travel today. You have this kind of arrangement. You send them to the counter, get all the agreement with the staff there, and then they will make a kind of agreement to secure your children. Then there will be a steward, or stewardess will bring the children straight to the aircraft. And nobody can take this child out except the officer in charge. And then they only will take her out, and they will pass it to another family member who is waiting from the other point. So the travel arrangement today is so well organized that you can feel the security, you feel safe. And then when you have that kind of security, then the law will relax a bit. If not, then the law will still apply. And about today, with all the handphone and everything, you know, if anything urgent, you can just give a call. Now there's an accident, what should we do? The doctor said he must go for an operation now. For a woman, you need a mahram to decide for her. For a man, not necessary. There is a difference between man and woman. Yeah? But all, even there was a saying in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ of adab musafir for men. If you are going to somewhere for a mission, when you finish what you do, quickly go home. Even you are a man, why? It's safer for you, less fitna. Go home. Because you have children and everybody at home, or you travel together with the family, then alhamdulillah. If you look at all the scenario about this adab of traveling, is for the safety and the goodness of the individual. Yeah? If you have people waiting for you to point, then there should be no problem. You feel safe. Yeah? But if people still want to be very particular, sometimes they use this to control their wife. Yeah. Hey, no mahram, huh? No shopping. You only shop with me. You know, sometimes people misuse the hadith for other purpose. And that's why you see some women in some continent, they are so cramped up. They just cannot move at all. And it's not healthy for them. Yeah? They need also to learn. They need to be exposed to many things. It's like today, only men, most of the men drive. How about the woman? If the woman don't know how to drive, if something happened to the man, who is going to drive the man? Oh, no problem. Today we have Grab car. No. Yeah, we just can call. Okay, no problem. Yeah, of course, there's so many things today that help us, you know. But before, if you don't have people who can drive you, there's a lot of problem, extra problem. So you don't deprive the right of the woman to also have that skill. So if any emergency, they are there to back up for the family. Wata'awanu ala bir. Help each other, compliment each other. That is my comment. Any last question from the sisters? Sisters, any last question from the sisters? May Allah increase your help, sisters, man, and also your patience handling the man in the month of Ramadan. Yeah, sometimes the men also are very demanding. Yeah, manja lebih in the Ramadan. Yeah. So may Allah give you extra patience to handle them, inshallah. Plus, brother. Naam. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Fair enough. Yeah, the same thing like our Prophet. He said, beware of the false prophets. Even our Prophet remind his Ummah that there will come false prophet after me. And it happened before the Prophet died. Musaylamah was there. Few other people claim that they are prophets. So all prophets have to remind their people. But to say there is no prophet after Jesus, they don't have. False prophet, of course, they do have. So we agree with them if they say that. Are they going to say Muhammad is a false prophet? They will say that if they want. Then we have to clear their understanding. We got to tell them who is Muhammad. But there is also a saying in the book that there will come a man that will baptize you with the spirit of fire. I baptize you with the spirit of water. And they even indicate that the man will come from the desert, from the land of Bakka. They have these signs. The only thing that stopped them actually is because, I mean, I'm not talking about the present Christian who do not know a lot of history, talking about what happened in the time of Jesus, is because they are racist. They are racist. They only want that the last prophet also must from the Bani Israel. That's all. That's all. Because Allah has made it very clear, and they have proven, you know, in the time of the prophet, they know how do the prophet look like. Like how they recognize their newborn, their baby, they can know that this is the true messenger of Allah. But because he is from the Ismailian, not from the Ishaq, not from Isaac, they just, not all, some of them refuse. That's all. A lot of time we know what is right and what is wrong because of this racial sentiment stop us from accepting and acknowledging what is right. That's why Islam is not here to talk about race. Islam is here to represent mankind. You can see anywhere. Even until today in the West, talk about the white supremacy. What is that? Again, they're talking about color again. Color become a barrel, race become a barrel. We should present mankind. We are all like one big family. That's beautiful. That's why the Prophet warned us about racism. That he said, "Man da'a ila asabiyya." I make it short, it's a long one. Famat. Famaitahu maitatan jahiliya. Whoever called to tribalism, racism, and they die while doing that, they will not die as a Muslim, they will die as a pagan. Because that is the pagan's struggles. They always struggle for their tribe. Islam said, no more. We are here to represent everybody. That's the beauty of Islam. It's just like the meaning of Ramadan. Yeah, I was looking at one of these. Yeah. Beautiful reminder. How do you spell Ramadan? R-A. They said, R-A, remember, R-remember, A, Allah, then, morning, then, yeah, A, morning, and, A, morning, and what? And D. Yeah. I'll just look at this beautiful reminder. Very interesting. Ramadan. People today, everybody is sending a lot of things to us. Yeah? We also are going through all this. Ramadan. Ours, remember. A, Allah, M, morning, A, afternoon, D, day, A-N-N-9. So you say, remember Allah morning, afternoon, day and night. Who come with this? Not hadith, is there somebody? And the month of Ramadan is a month to train us to remember Allah morning, afternoon, day and night. Alhamdulillah. It's true, yeah, in a way, yeah. Sometimes very unique, you know. Certain letter that is being spelled, after some time people reflect, people come up with beautiful meaning. Yeah? Alhamdulillah. It's just like Islam, people spell Latin I-S-L-A-M. Then I is I, S is shell, L is love, A is all, M is mankind. I shall love all mankind. Beautiful. Yeah, Allahu Akbar. If you want to use mankind, or you don't want to use mankind, you use other. I shall love all Muslim. I shall love all Malays only. So it's better to see mankind, because Allah is Rabbul Alamin. Qul a'udhu birabbin nas, malikin nas, ilahin nas. It's talking about nas. People. So we are representing people. May Allah help us, brother and sister, accept all of this. And please don't forget your dua before iftar. Yeah, don't get too busy until you forget to make dua before iftar, the breaking of fast. And don't forget your sahur. And don't forget when you pray, pray for us. Yeah, pray for all our activities. May Allah protect all of us from fitna. And also may Allah Rabbul Alamin forgive all our sins, and also pray for my family who are not yet Muslim, and pray for those who are not well. May Allah give them shifa. Yeah? Pray for everybody. It's good. Yeah? We'll see you again, inshallah. But every night we are here, whoever join us, you get some short tazkira after the end of witr, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik. And before I end, I forgot, inshallah, soon we'll come up with some kind of announcement to let all the sisters and the brothers to know that we have a special kind of offer on garments, yeah, that you cannot get in any other place, the special price that is offered here. The thing is coming soon, inshallah. Yeah. So, good news for everybody, inshallah. So until we get the news, we will inform you from time to time, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How's everything?
Yeah. There's another one that says, I want to tell you.